Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. The phone lines are open for you at 844-322-2742. If you have something to talk over with us, well, we'd love to hear from you right now. So call in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now at Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I love this passage out of 1 Peter, and it is really a great one to prepare us on a day-by-day basis to face the world in which we live in. And that's been our subject matter all month. How do we handle the pressure of the world? How do we handle all of that stuff that the world throws at us day in and day out, trying to get us to conform to the ways and patterns of the world? We once lived that way, but we've been set free from that.
Yes.
But the world still wants us. And we see with the current moral decay here in America that, you know, Christians, they're saying, are standing on the wrong side of history.
Yeah.
And it's just not true. We're standing on the right side of history.
The only side.
Why? Because his history is really God's story. And that's the only story that's going to stand eternally.
Yes.
So know that you are on the right side of history, regardless of what the world tries to tell you and how it tries to pressure you to cave in.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some great words from the Apostle Peter to help us prepare ourselves on a day-by-day basis. So he says in verse 13 of chapter 1, so he's already given us some really good encouragement that we've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance that's being kept for us by the very power of God. So it's there. I mean, we don't have to worry about it. So he gives that as kind of our foundation. He says, so really let this truth soak in, because for a while you're going to face some fiery trials.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't let that knock you off your game, so to speak. Remember who you are. And so he goes down to verse 13 and he says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he says, prepare your minds. I mean, you're going to have to get your mind right, so to speak, as you go out into this world. You're going to have to recognize that the world is going to try to lure you back in.
Yeah.
So prepare for that. Just recognize it. It's like it's like all of these football teams when they're getting prepared for the game on Saturday if you're a college mm-hmm. team, or the game on Sunday if you're a pro team. They're looking at film of their upcoming opponent.
Right.
And they're trying to find out some of the things that they do good, some of their weaknesses. What are they doing? They are preparing themselves for action. So they're not surprised in the game. They know how to deal with what's going to be coming at them.
Yeah.
So in the same way, we need to watch the film of the world mm-hmm. and figure out how it operates. And so we need to prepare our minds. We need to be sober-minded. And all of that, we need to set our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the counter to the things of this world.
Yeah.
The world is going to offer us all sorts of stuff, and it's going to dress it up in such a way that it looks appealing to this flesh of ours. But we have to recognize we have something much better. We have the grace of God. We're standing firm in the grace of God, and we're going to experience the full revelation of that when Christ appears.
Right.
Why? Because he's the one full of grace and truth. So remember the riches of God's grace that you have in Jesus Christ. So as obedient children, or as trusting children, that's what he's talking about. That's who you are. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So here's what's happened. When you came to Christ, when you received the gospel message, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you were made holy.
Mm-hmm.
That shed blood of Jesus sanctified you, set you apart, made you holy once and for all through faith in Jesus Christ. you've also been made perfect forever by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that once for all sacrifice. That's who you are. Mm-hmm. So you're set apart for God's use as a trusting child of God, as one walking in dependence upon the Lord Jesus. Don't be conformed to those former passions. Yeah. Just let them go. Why? Because you don't belong there anymore. You've been saved from the world. You've been set apart for God. You are a part of His kingdom. So rejoice in that. So as you go out every day, remember who you are. Prepare your mind for what you're going to experience out in this world. Set your hope on the grace that's going to be revealed to you when Christ appears. And you'll be able to keep your eyes on Jesus regardless of what the world throws your way.
Indeed. And that is good news, Bob. Thanks for sharing. And this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. We have an open line for you right now. If it's about 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. That number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Bob, we had this question from Webb, who listens on CSN in Bend, Oregon. He says, are people who are in hell in total darkness that can be felt? Are there other parts of hell where some people are blind and unconscious to the constant burning? I heard a preacher once say that Gehenna was where the bodies of temple sacrifices were disposed of and where fires were constantly burning. How can a man be sent to a garbage dump? That's from Webb in Bend, Oregon.
Well, it's a good question, Webb, and you know, there's a lot in the Word of God that talks about what hell is like, or what that state, that realm people are going to be who reject Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We see it described as darkness. We see the lake of fire. We see all of these different imagery. But what it is death, is eternal death. That's what hell is. It's eternal death. So all of us come into this world dead spiritually. Mm-hmm. And those who receive Jesus are born again. They cross over from death to life. Right. So they're going to be in the presence of God. Why? Because God is the God of the living. Those who reject Christ, they're going to just experience eternal death. The death that they entered the world in and under will just continue eternally. Now, what that's going to be like, we don't know. No one from hell, no one who has ever been to hell has come back to tell us.
No.
But we do know it's going to be an awful existence. And that's why this gospel message is so vitally important to get out. I think there's a sense of urgency in the times that we live in to tell people that Jesus Christ came so that they might have life, and that His death on the cross took away their sins. Mm-hmm. So God is no longer counting sins against them, and He's imploring and begging, be reconciled unto God. Have that relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And in so doing, you're going to be saved from the wrath to come. And what is that? That's eternal death.
Yeah.
And what that is going to be for those people will be beyond comprehension.
No.
But we know it's just going to be awful. So there's good news. That good news is in Jesus. His life, it's available to all. Simply receive it.
Indeed. Thanks, Bob. And Webb, thanks for reaching out. Great question. You know, friends, this month's donor gift is a DVD by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper called Your Living Hope, Staying Strong and True in Your Identity in Jesus Christ in the Face of the Chaos of the World Around Us. It's our gift to everyone who supports Basic Gospel this month, but we need your help to reach a $50,000 need before the end of the month to pay for the broadcast time and online services, things we have to pay for in order to bring Basic Gospel to you every day. To cover those costs, we need gifts totaling at least $50,000 by the 30th, but with everybody helping, that sum can easily be met. But we do need your help to make that happen. So please donate today. Help if you can. Click donate at basicgospel.net and make the largest gift that you can to support Basic Gospel. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Your Living Hope. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, again, the phone line is open at 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines, and we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. In the meantime, Bob, a question from a Facebook viewer. This is from Earl. He says, in the Gospel of John, does the passage, every tree that does not produce good fruit should be cut down and cast into the fire, mean that you can lose your salvation?
No.
Next question. I know you have more to say about it than
no,
that.
No, yeah. you cannot lose salvation. Why? Because salvation is more than forgiveness of sin. Salvation is being made alive together with Christ.
Yeah.
So we are dead spiritually. That was our real problem. Jesus Christ came that we might have life. When we receive him, we receive his life. And so we cross over from death to life. And the cross guarantees that that's eternal. And the fact that Christ has an indestructible life and he now lives inside of us, that means as long as he lives, we're going to live. And that's forever.
That's
eternal life. So you can't lose that. We just have way too many guarantees in the Word of God to think otherwise. So what in the world does this passage in John mean? Well, Jesus is giving some really shocking truth here. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So Israel perceived themselves as the vine.
Right.
And Jesus was saying, no, I'm the true vine. And he says, every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So what does a vine dresser do? Well, he makes sure the vine is going to be healthy.
Sure.
He makes sure that the vine is going to produce fruit. Well, Jesus is that vine, and he's the source of life. So if there are branches that reject, and so he would be speaking about Israel, if there are branches that reject, then they're just going to be taken away. And we see that's what's occurred. Paul references this in his letter to the Romans in Romans 9, 10, and 11. So he talks about us Gentiles being grafted in, and that a point in time that Israel will come back to the fold. So he's simply saying that Jesus is the source of life. If you're attached to Jesus, then you're going to bear much fruit. If you're not attached to Jesus, you're not going to bear fruit, and you're just going to be a worthless branch.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. So Jesus is the source. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. That's what he's talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So if you're not attached to Jesus, you're a worthless branch.
Yeah.
So what's the solution to that? Get attached to Jesus. How do you get attached to Jesus? By receiving the good news, by receiving Christ himself, and you'll bear much fruit in him.
In him. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for being with us, everybody. And we have, again, plenty of time on the clock for your question. If you want to give us a call at 844-322-2742, again, 844-322-2742. And from Arlington, Texas, a question, Bob. This writer says, I don't understand what a Messianic Jew believes because they say Jesus is the Messiah. What do they believe? If I'm employed by a Messianic Jew, am I unequally yoked?
Well, good questions. You know, we were in Israel earlier this year, back in June, and we just had a marvelous time going through the country. But there are a number of people in Israel today, a small number, who actually believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the one that fulfills the Old Testament prophecy. So they're not looking for another Messiah. So as John the Baptist, when he's in jail, he sends word and says, you know, find out from Jesus if he is the one, or should we be looking for someone else?
Right.
Well, the nation of Israel has been looking for someone else. They basically rejected Jesus, except for those who, you know, heard Peter's message of Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, the early Christians were all Jewish. Yeah. But for the most part, the nation of Israel, the leaders, the religious leaders, rejected Jesus as Messiah. Yeah. But all through history, there's been a remnant, a group of Jewish people who have looked to Jesus as the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a resurgence of that in recent years, say maybe the last 50 years. So we see lots of organizations, Jews for Jesus, for example. And so we see this messianic movement. So what does that mean? It means they're Jewish. They have a Jewish background. That's their heritage. That's their ancestry. And they see Jesus as the Messiah. Mm-hmm. So they retain their Judaism. So they still, you know, follow a lot of the Old Testament practices, yet they adhere to the fact that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the one the Old Testament prophesied about. Now, the various beliefs in the different sects of Messianic Judaism are, you know, cover a broad spectrum. Some believe that he's simply the Messiah, that he's not God incarnate. There's others that believe he's both Messiah, the Son of God, God in human flesh. So we see some variations there. For the most part, you know, they fall under the umbrella of evangelical.
Right.
It's exciting to see that these folks are truly recognizing Jesus for who he is. Mm-hmm. So that's an exciting thing. Now, as far as being unequally yoked, you know, the passage in 1 Corinthians 6, we really use that to talk about marriage. You don't want to marry an unbeliever, right. But it has a broader
scope. Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. And application, and that's to all partnerships.
Right.
So if you're talking about an employer and an employee, you're not talking really about a partnership. You're just talking about having a job.
Yeah.
So if you were in partnership, that's a different story. So no, you wouldn't be unequally yoked in that situation.
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, and we appreciate hearing from you, our listeners, and you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to hear from you, and you can also call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. Friends, if you've ever wondered if there's another way to stay connected every day with God's love through Basic Gospel, well, there is. It's called the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. You'll be encouraged to know that you can live every day in God's love and grace, and you'll be reminded of that fact every morning. Subscribe online today at basicgospel.net/subscribe. The daily devotional is free and comes to your email inbox every morning. Again, visit basicgospel.net/subscribe to sign up free for the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Killeen, Texas, and talk to Calvin. Hi, Calvin.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's on your mind today?
Oh, yes, sir. I was just calling I think I'm listening to the show right now, 101.3. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, sir. I was just had a question. If I'm made in the image and likeness of Elohim, how am I born inherently already spiritually dead?
Well, that's the result of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. And the Apostle Paul put it this way in his letter to the Romans. This is verse 12 of chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that was Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. So this was just passed on to us, the spiritual condition that Adam and Eve found themselves in after sinning. They passed that spiritual condition on down through every generation. So we all come into this world really in the likeness of Adam, dead spiritually in need of a Savior. So as Paul wrote, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So all of us come into this world dead spiritually. We are under that condemnation of death, and that's removed through faith in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Bob.
Well, you are welcome, Calvin. Very important question, and it really shows the full nature of the gospel. So Adam and Eve died spiritually. Jesus Christ came into this world so that we might have life and have it to the full. When we turn to Christ, we receive him. We receive his life. We cross over from death to life. That's the good news. And the cross is what guarantees that once we cross over from death to life, that that's an eternal transaction, that we are saved completely.
Okay, Calvin, it's great to hear from you. Thanks for reaching out. Hope you'll keep listening and call again. Well, Bob, we had this question from Amy, who writes to us from Detroit, listening on WMUZ. She says, can you please define in a practical sense what a lukewarm Christian looks like? I feel like that I serve the Lord at my workplace, but I don't serve at church, for example. I know that I can never do enough for Christ, but I'm scared I won't be in the rapture. Thank you so much for your help. And again, that's from Amy in Detroit.
Well, it just breaks my heart that there's fear, you know, just all throughout that question. Yeah. She's scared she's not going to be in the rapture, and God certainly isn't the author of confusion. We have to recognize that when Jesus died on the cross, he died to take away all of our sins. He stood in our place. He took our punishment so that we could experience everlasting life. So that's where we need to start, is the perfect love of God. And that perfect love was demonstrated at the cross, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So we have to recognize that. So this act of forgiveness that God did in Jesus was a demonstration of his love for each and every one of us. And as we rest in that love and rest in Christ's finished work and rest in the fact that we are forgiven people, then that love is going to start casting out that fear and giving us confidence in our relationship with the Lord. So we're going to see that we truly are children of God, that we have a new identity, that we've been marked out by God through the Holy Spirit. He is the deposit guaranteeing our everlasting life, our eternal inheritance. So we can start to relax. We can start to rest, and we can start to rejoice in who we are in Christ. And that will cast away fear. Now, as far as lukewarm, you know, that's from the book of Revelation. John is talking about, or Jesus is actually talking to the church at Laodicea. And that church was located geographically between two towns. In one town, there was a hot spring. In the town in the south, there was a cool, fresh water spring. And yet there in Laodicea, the water supply was tepid, was lukewarm, and it wasn't good for taste or anything.
Yeah.
And they were basically indifferent. They were indifferent toward Christ. They were indifferent toward the gospel message. And John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is just saying, hey, take a stand.
Mm-hmm.
Stand for something in life and stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Amy, you've already taken a stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recognize that. Be grateful for it. And recognize that when you are absent from this body, you're going to be present with the Lord.
And leave the fear behind.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. We're going to be back again tomorrow, same time. But by the way, if a question pops into your mind before tomorrow's broadcast, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, and we'll probably answer it on the broadcast tomorrow. Again, 844-322-2742. If you'd rather write your question, you can do that as well. Just drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Friends, your donations to Basic Gospel help keep this good news coming on your station and online. As we've said before, we need your help to reach a needed amount of $50,000 by the end of this month, September 30th. And when you give in September, we're going to send you our DVD called Your Living Hope. It's our way of saying thanks for supporting this ministry of grace in Jesus Christ that we call Basic Gospel. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of Your Living Hope. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, same station, for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.